Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
So God's plan is right here in verse 13, James 5. Are any among you suffering? You don't have to say I, you know, but if you are, then this is a word that goes out to the church. And I don't think I'm the only one that comes under attack at times. I know we have a surgery coming up with Joanne this next month, and we're believing God for some more miracles with that. But we do face things in this life. So are any among you suffering? And if so, they should do what? They should pray. And actually, I believe the NLT has it right. It's probably a present active indicative in the Greek, which simply means pray and don't stop praying. We've talked about that recently, about the importance of not being discouraged and enduring and trusting God regardless of what you're going through. So if you're suffering, you should keep on praying about it. Until when? We were talking about the song Push we used to sing. And it was pray until something happens. Not just something, until God happens. That's what we want to see happen. And those who have reason to be thankful, anybody have reason to be thankful? You should continually sing praises to the Lord. So it's okay, you know, you're an Abundant Life. You can shout and you will not offend me or mess anybody up. Only the devil gets messed up when we're shouting. So mess him up. And when my wife was talking about talking to Judy, Judy called me back. She said, I don't know what was wrong with me. They told me my immune system wasn't functioning right. And she just started laughing as she's telling Rachel. And I said, well, that's better to laugh than to cry, right? So she said, yeah. She said, I don't know. And she started laughing again, telling me about it. And I thought, well, praise God. So we're to pray, and we are to be thankful. And we should sing praises to the Lord. Are any among you sick? They should go to the doctor. No, that is not what it says. It's okay if you go to the doctor, right? But go to Jesus, right? So if there's any sick among you, they should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. So if you're suffering and you're in pain, you're to be praying, but then you're also to ask the elders to pray with you as well and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And their prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. So the healer is not the oil. The healer is not the elders, but Father is our healer. Amen? And the doctors may at times get to come along and watch what God does or be a part, but God is our healer. And anyone who has committed sins will be what? Forgiven. Aren't you glad there's forgiveness? You know, none of us here are admitting to being so perfect that we don't thank God for forgiveness. Then it says, confess your sins to each other. Be honest with each other. Don't be critical, judgmental, condemning, but forgiving. And the way to do that is when you have two or three that our prayer partners, and you honestly are able to share, I'm struggling with this. Any of you ever struggled? Don't raise your hand. Well, you could, but I'll raise my hand. Sometimes we do, and there's been a lot of times on Monday evening when we go in for our guys' gathering that I've said, men, I need you to pray for me. I need you to lay hands on me. I need you to lay hands on Andrew. We need to pray together. We need to stand together. So this is the Word of God. We're to be honest. We're to be open. We're to confess our needs and to have prayer partners that can pray and agree with God and His Word over our lives. Then it says something really important. It says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has what kind of power? Great. Much power. The King James says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It accomplishes a lot. And so this is important to know, that when you pray and you're sincere, God is listening, has great power, wonderful results. And then we come to Elijah. How many of you have heard Elijah before? You don't know about Elijah? Okay, this is a test. I'm going to ask you a question after I read this, and I want you to think about it. So Elijah was what? He was human. He was a prophet, right? He was a prophet of old. We know a little bit, maybe a lot about Elijah, about his life. He was used of God in great and mighty ways. But it starts out by saying Elijah was as human as we are. So if Elijah was with us this morning, he would be sitting here with the same access to God as you have. No difference. He was just one of the kids that believed in God, right? So Elijah was as human. That tells me he had problems. That tells me that he wasn't perfect. It tells me that if he lived today, he would still need deodorant. It tells me he would need to brush his teeth. He was human. He was human. You read the Word of God. That's what it's saying. Elijah, he was a prophet that was used of God, but he was human. He was just like we are. And yet, when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, what happened? No rain fell for the next 3.5 years. Then he prayed. Now you're getting ready for your test, right? I'm going to give you a test in just a minute. Hang on. Then he prayed for rain, and down it poured. The other night the ladies had a shower. Guess what it did? It showered. It poured. Rachel said, we had a horrible storm. Well, it was a shower. What do you expect? That's what y'all came here to have. It poured. But it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. He prayed. Down it poured. The grass turned green. The crops began to grow. And then it says, my dear brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back again, you can be sure that the one who brings that person back will save the sinner from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins, which is awesome. That's all of us having a ministry of encouraging one another to stay strong in our faith in God. Okay, the test about Elijah. You ready? Y'all look like super students. You'd all get double stars. This is the test. What happened to Elijah between the time he prayed and it stopped raining and he prayed and it started raining? Who can tell me something that happened? Drought. Severe drought. Thank you, Bob. I would expect an irrigation contractor to come up with that report. Bob had a lot of work during that time. That is great. What's something else that happened? What was going on? What's going on with Elijah? He has 3.5 years. Just shout it out. He was hiding. Why was he hiding? They wanted to kill him. Why? Because he prayed and there's no rain, right? And so they want to kill him, so he's hiding. What else is going on with Elijah? That's later. He didn't get to the dying part yet. But that's going to come after he's running from Jezebel, right? So that's part of it. That's after the 3.5 years. What else? What else about Elijah? During this 3.5 years, no rain. What's going on? God provide. Oh, man, Esther, you should go on vacation more often. You have all the right answers this morning. So between Bob being an irrigation contractor, I think they're going to lead the next class. But yeah, for sure, that is exactly what was going on. God provided for him. And what did he provide? What did God provide? Water? How did the water come? Running down the creek. Well, that was great as long as it lasted. Then it stopped. Okay, what else did God provide? Food. Well, we're going to get... Oh, now she's smart. Now she knows. She's already got to the answer. But God sends a raven twice a day, morning, evening. Now, if you don't know, ravens are not the cleanest toenail birds, right? I mean, they're not known for being clean. They're, you know, they're kind of scavenger-type birds, so they're not real clean. And really, the Jews didn't have much of anything to do with ravens, but they were the delivery service. Now we have what, drones? I was just reading that we have drones that can drop your food 300 feet. You know, really cool things happening. I know Michael Hennessy will have that in the back of his car. He'll be out there probably dropping things off for us. But the raven came and brought bread and meat twice a day to Elijah. So he had that. And now Esther has brought up where we're going to go. Thank you very much. Now I know where we're supposed to go. And it is actually in the book of 1 Kings. So go there with me. 1 Kings chapter 17. And 1 Kings, I'll give you a page number here in a minute. I don't know if it'll help you. But 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'm on page 402. Ed Burrier used to say, what page number are you on? And we all had different Bibles, so it didn't help. But all right, 1 Kings chapter 17, and here we find what is going on. And I'm going to kind of read quickly. You can follow along with your translation. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, you remember King Ahab was the most wicked man. His wife was the most wicked woman. In fact, she still has a lot of messages preached about her. Spirit of Jezebel. You know, a lot of messages about the Jezebel spirit. But this is Ahab, and Elijah gives him the message. As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God whom I worship and serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years unless I give the word. Now understand, Elijah was not just deciding to shut the water faucet off in the heavens. God had told Elijah to do this. Elijah is moving, speaking in obedience to God. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kerith Brook at a place east of where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook, eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord had told him and camped beside Kerith Brook. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning. Evening he drank from the brook. But after a while the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. There is a widow there who will feed you. So he goes from being fed by the ravens. Now he is looking for a widow. So he goes. God says something about this widow, and I want you to take note of it. The drought's going on. However, the scripture says, I have given her my instructions. That means she had a word from God. That means there was a drought everywhere else, but here is a widow who God has spoken to, and she is trusting in God. I want you to understand this is not a story of a prophet that decides to go out and collect an offering from widows because he wants to live high on the hog. Unfortunately, in the news the last few days, we've had some horrible stories of misuse and abuse with the name of God. Let me tell you, I would not want to stand before God without forgiveness and having ripped off $50 million of God's people's money. That would be a dangerous, dangerous place to be. But that's not what's going to happen here. And it's important that you take note of the fact that whether you are wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you have a big family or no family, whether you're single, you're married, whether you are a widow or not, God knows where you are, and God has a word for you. And that word, whatever word God has for you, is a word that will give you faith and sustain you going through whatever you need to go through. And I encourage people, when you're going through a valley in the shadow of death, and you don't know what's going on around you, what's going to happen next, what the doctors are saying, what the banks are saying, what's going on with global terrorism, whatever's going on. If you can get a hold of what God has for you and you hear it, you receive it, then you will be able to have the peace of God in your life at that time. And so this widow, God says to the prophet, I have given her my instructions. So the widow has received the word of the Lord. But then we see something more about her. She went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a cup of water? Does that remind you of another story of someone else who asked for water? Any of you remember when Jesus was at the well and the Samaritan lady came to draw water for herself, and it was very inappropriate for a lady to be talking to a Jew, especially a prophet, to a man? It was very much out of order. However, he spoke to her first. And guess who talked to the widow first? God did. And now the prophet is going to speak to her. He says, "Bring me a cup of water." As she turns, she goes to get it. He called to her and said, "And bring me a bite of bread." Right? "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said to him, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house." Now, if you don't have one piece of bread in the house, then you're kind of down to the bottom of the barrel, right? And this is where she is. And then she goes on and describes her condition. "And I have only a handful of flour," handful, "left in the jar, and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug." This is her condition. I suppose all of you have heard this story. This is going on during the drought. It may be 6 months into the drought. It may be a year into the drought. Maybe even a little more. We don't have a calendar to tell us exactly when this is happening. But what we know is that this lady has come to the end of all of her resources. And God has a plan to not only take care of her, but God has a plan for her at the end of her resources to be blessed so she can provide for someone else's needs as well. And God often does this, and it's the miraculous power of God at work in our life. She said, "I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of faith, but God had spoke to her. God had prepared her. I'm not sure how all of that happened, but we see that this widow is going to receive the prophet and receive the mission with obedience and faith. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." Okay, let's deal with the spirit of fear. Anytime Satan comes and attacks, I believe on almost every occasion, the spirit of fear shows up first. Comes a lion, demon spirit, tell you the worst possible things that could happen. And so here it is. "Do not be afraid." So God's going to speak to her about that. "Don't be afraid. Go ahead. Cook that last meal. But bake me a little loaf of bread first." That reminds me of Matthew chapter 6. And there's a verse down about verse 33 that says, "Seek ye first." Can you say it with me? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's just a biblical principle that when we put God first, God knows how to take care of everything else that's in our life. And God is looking for us to trust him in that kind of a way. It is a bit of a test, isn't it, where God asks us to trust him. But the prophet says afterward, "There will still be enough food for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." Now he's going to give a prophetic word. We call these words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words. And God is speaking. This is one for real. And so Elijah speaks. "You're not to be afraid." He says, "For this is what the Lord says. There will always," say always with me, "always, there will always be plenty of flour and oil left in your containers." Plenty of oil, plenty of flour. That's all she needed. That's all that she had left. And he said, "It's not going to run out. There will always be plenty left in your containers until" when? "The time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." Now, I had in my notes in this reference that it's real easy to focus on what's left in the container instead of focusing on the size of our God. It's easy to count and make record of what we have remaining, what is left, what we can do in our strength, what our resources are rather than looking at our God and saying, what is our God up to in this situation? Could I remind you that that is a great prayer to pray? God, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling I don't really have resources. I don't really have the means. I don't believe I can trust the doctors or the medicines or my bank account or my nation or my president to take care of me. God, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. And we could pray and say, I'm discouraged. I'm down in the dump. And sometimes some have even been so bold as to say, and God, I'm a little angry. I feel like you've left me. And the enemy's saying, yes, that's right, God's left you. Where is God when you need him? But I would suggest to you this morning that we pray a different prayer. When our back is up against the wall, and all of us are going to be there, and we're going to experience some more of this in these end days. We're in the end days. So strengthen your faith. Strengthen your heart. Do not be discouraged when you face things that require faith. Faith. We're not going to be able to take care of ourselves. We need God to help take care of us. So when we're in that condition, I want to encourage you to practice this prayer. God, what are you up to right now in my life? Because you see, if I only acknowledge what I don't have, I'm actually looking at what Satan's up to. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I look at the lack, if I look at the need, if I look at the problem, and I focus on that, I'm actually doing exactly what Satan wants to do. But if I look at God and say, God, what are you up to right now in my life? And what is your word for me? What is your word for me? What are you saying at this time? Well, the widow was able to get a hold of that. She was able to get a hold of it. She was able to look to God. She was able to receive the word. And so she was able to receive the blessing of God, but it came in a supernatural package. It didn't come delivered by the raven. It didn't come delivered by somebody down in Egypt somewhere else. But God supernaturally did a miracle in this lady's storage pots. She has a couple different pots, right, that we know of. Maybe there were more, but we know she has flour and she has oil. And so she would reach in and take out a handful of flour or maybe two, and she would go to the container with the oil and she would pour out what she needed. And look at what the scripture said. The prophet said, no matter how much you need, you're always going to have a supply. There will always be plenty in your containers until the time when the Lord sends the rain. So she did as Elijah said. It's called obedience, isn't it? It's called trusting and obeying. I like that song. So she believes. She trusts God. And so her supply of flour and oil, it lasted. Verse 16, chapter 17. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat from her supply of flour and oil for many days, may have been months, may have been more than a year. We don't know how long it was. It didn't matter how long it was. It just mattered that God was taking care of what was going on inside of those pots. And I'm sure today there would be a lot of scientists wanting to, you know, investigate what happened in those pots. And they would question that God would be able to do something like that. And maybe they would even make fun of this widow. Maybe the neighbors would have laughed at her and said, yeah, right, you think you really believe God can do something like that? But for this widow, she knew, for no matter how much they used, there was always enough left in the container, always enough, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Now, that's not the end of the story of what happened. There's more of the story. And you see it right here. It continues immediately. Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. Now, this is a serious situation. He grew worse and worse. Finally, he died. Her son died. The same lady who had the miracle going on in her pots has another attack from the enemy. Hello? Have you found the enemy does not go on vacation? You can go on vacation. He'll follow you. The enemy doesn't go on vacation to come against your kids, come against your business, come against your house. So her son, he died. She then said to Elijah, O man of God, what have you done to me? We can tell her faith is slipping. Have you come here to punish my sins by killing my son? But Elijah replied, give me your son. He took the boy's body from her. We don't know how old he was, but he carried him up to the upper room. So this is where Elijah's been staying. He's been staying on the second floor, and that was his room where he lived, and laid the body on his bed. Then Elijah cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, why have you brought tragedy on this widow who has opened her home to me, causing her son to die? And he stretched himself out over the child three times, cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, please let this child's life return to him. What does verse 22 tell us? The Lord heard Elijah's prayer, and the life of the child returned. He came back to life. Then Elijah brought him down from the upper room and gave him to his mother. Look, your son is alive. Why would we go there? Well, because in James it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it gives us the illustration of Elijah, and to all the people who just read the New Testament, it calls upon us to go back to the first covenant and look to see what God did in Elijah's life. So we just took a little glimpse into his life and saw what took place and saw how God worked in and through him. And we are seeing that God actually had a plan to use him supernaturally even during the time of drought. But the admonition is to us in James that we should recognize that the effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. And we're to look at this story, we're to look at Elijah's life, we're to think about what God did through his life, and we're to look in James, and James is saying, you have access to the same God as Elijah. There's no difference. God is saying through James, God is saying, I want the church to believe me like Elijah did. I want you to trust me. I want you to look at his life and realize he simply prayed. A prayerless church will not ever see the miraculous that God wants to do until we become a praying church. God's calling us to believe him, to trust him, and he will give you opportunities. He will allow the enemy to shoot some arrows at you. He will allow the enemy to lie at you. And those are God opportunities for God to show up and to work in a miraculous way in your life.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.